We want to turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. We'll continue the subject of let here by reading the first, let's read the first through the third verses, and we'll take our text for this segment of it from verse 3. Jesus says to the disciples, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Now, I'm going to work on this backwards for just a second to point out that verse 4 tells you what the end results of letting not will do for you. Because he says, it's like saying, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does, so that your alms are in secret, your offerings are in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret himself, will reward you openly. That's the outcome of this do not let, or let not, if you will. So here we have another let, and I mentioned this morning that there would be some of these would be in the form of let nots, and this is one of them. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, some people have probably taken this teaching absolutely literally. I think I saw a brother take this literally at an offering box one day at a church conference, and I cannot remember where it was at or who the person was, but I think I remember seeing this brother go up to the offering table, and he had money in his right hand, but he kept his left hand behind him, and he dropped it in the offering box. And after he walked back, he went ahead and used both hands. And some people take that literally and do that, and that's okay if you want to symbolize something to yourself. But when we look at this, this is not the whole lesson we want to understand that the Lord Jesus has given us here. What he's really teaching us, brothers and sisters, and I think it's pretty obvious to all of us, is that in our acts of sacrifice or charity, he wants us to realize that it's tempting to make sure others know about it. Gotta tell somebody what we did in our service to the Lord, or in our giving. And this is a human tendency. It's very, very commonly a human tendency. We want to, people to understand, and sometimes the desire for this doesn't come because we want praise and pats on our back. It's because we don't want somebody thinking that we're small-minded in the way we offer and serve. And so we're tempted to say something about it so that people understand that, look, I'm keeping quiet, but I've got to tell you now, I'm doing this, and what we're really thinking in our minds is, I don't want them thinking that I'm really small-minded in the way I serve the Lord. But however we think about it, the Lord Jesus teaches us a real important idea here, and that is not to do the things that we do in service to the Lord and in serving one another and in doing the things that God would have us doing in the world, not do them by making a big advertisement of it. If somebody sees you do something while you're doing it, you don't stop what you're doing and go and hide until they leave and then come and do it. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to do like the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus accused them of doing, make a loud noise, a big advertisement, and send a big party before us to announce what we're doing. The great Gamaliel is making an offering today in the treasury, a huge one. Come and see everyone. That kind of thing he's speaking out against. And so we want to recognize that it's tempting to make sure others know about it, and it's a human tendency because we're afraid of being marked if it's small. But Christ's lesson is about practicing a kind of humility in our giving so that we don't become ensnared by the desire to give in order to get some credit. That's the whole idea here. If you get credit, and the Lord brings about the providential arrangement of things so that someone sees you and gives you credit and praises you for it, you didn't set that up. You take that praise, thank them for it, and go on. But don't do things that you do in order to get credit for those things. Now notice that the very presentation of the lesson implies, as I've reminded you this morning, implies that we have choices as His people of practicing either way of giving. We can practice it the way that Jesus is condemning, or we can practice it the way that He's guiding us to do by saying, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. And that's the main reason I believe that he gave us this lesson in this format. Because if you look at the first two verses that I read, you'll notice that he plainly starts out his lesson with that warning. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And so then he gives us instructions for how to do it. Okay, Lord, if we're not to do it like everybody in the religious circuit out here in our day and time is doing it, how do we do it? Well, when you do your alms, don't sound that trumpet. Don't put out an advertisement on the radio or whatever it is you're tempted to do. Don't go tell your brother or sister, yeah, I'm going to give $1,000 next week. I heard a preacher preach one time about a member, and I don't know if it's a church member he had or not, but he preached a sermon one time about giving, and in that he said, I knew a fellow one time, when he was ready to give a pretty big offering, he'd come walking down the aisle waving that $100 bill like this and put it in the offering box. And he was preaching against this very thing that Jesus warned against here in chapter 6. And so we want to realize that what the Lord's teaching us here is to, be conservative in the way we advertise what we're doing in the way of any kind of charitable action that we do. All right. We'll close out on that one. So let's move to one more. We've got a few more minutes. Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we want to read verse 22 about let. Matthew 8, 22. But Jesus said unto him, that young man that was supposed to become his disciple, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now, let's read verse 21 so you kind of set the stage for this let verse. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. That's when Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now, a lot of people jump off the wagon on this and imagine that Jesus was telling this young disciple, you don't need to be attending funerals of your family. But that's not what he's talking about there. And in fact, we understand from the Jewish tradition of having funeral services that this actual phrase or statement or request by this young disciple would have gone something like this in the Jewish account of things. Let me take care of my dad who's ailing until he dies, and then after he dies I'll come and serve him. That's what we are told by the good scholars of the Jewish language was probably meant in this verse when it was written this way. And it makes sense. It makes clear sense because of the lesson that Jesus teaches here in what he said. Because he's saying, if you will, let the dead bury the dead, but you follow me. That's to paraphrase. Now, note Second, that dead burying their dead, as I just pointed out, is might be more than just, my dad died. They've got him in a casket down at the funeral home. I've got to go to his funeral. After the funeral, I come follow you. It might mean as large a thing as I suggested. And this teaching, as we look at it, is, I think, first of all, about believers making choices about what they will invest their time and attention in, and when they will invest that time in that object or that thing or that duty or that business. I think that's what this is about. The Lord wants us to give thought to what we invest our time in and when we invest our time in whatever it is. That thinking in that way, we realize what a huge lesson that the Lord Jesus would be teaching us here. Because if it means that big of a lesson, and I think it does, then it calls us to think about priorities before we do something. If what we have in our daily routines of life is going to interfere with serving the Lord, guess what? The Lord Jesus is teaching us here that thing that we're thinking about needs to go further down on the priority list than serving the Lord. If what we have in the way of earthly pursuits is going to take precedence over following the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be thinking about reprioritizing and putting it somewhere down below following the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the lesson that he gives us here. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, Paul tells us that there was apparently a fellow worker named Demas who had quit because of what he saw in the world, what he wanted in the world, what he had in the world, or what he was doing in the world, apparently, because he said it like this. He said, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now, Paul didn't say that just because Demas said, I'm being forced to go to Thessalonica. He said it because of obviously, must have been because of the excuse that Demas gave him for why he was going, having loved this present world. That's really another way of talking about what Jesus was talking about here in our let verse. He was talking about, are we as the people of God going to prioritize things of this world above that of following the Lord Jesus Christ? And when we think of it in that light, we realize that it covers more ground than just, okay, am I going to stay home today and clean my house, or am I going to go to church? The church is gathering on Sunday morning, but I got a real dirty house, so I better stay home and clean my house rather than go to church. It's talking about that, but it's talking about more than that. Because he says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And I warn you that coming to church when the Lord's people gather in a regular assembly is following the Lord, but it goes beyond that. This verse, this teaching goes beyond that. Because it turns out that in the real compromises that we make sometimes in not serving the Lord, we actually choose some worldly thing to serve instead of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose some worldly thing to follow after instead of following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Anytime we put something in front of the opportunity to follow the Lord, anytime we put something ahead of that which would cause us to follow the Lord, we've violated this let instruction here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, I believe, exactly what he's talking about. Now, how many times after you made up your mind to do something that was about the Lord's things without even knowing how it happened, at what point in time it happened, you got sidetracked and didn't carry through that thing? We've all done it. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. We can many times make up our mind, this is something we need to serve the Lord with. And then the next thing you know, something has run between us and that doing of that thing. And next thing you know, we're off out yonder in La La Land doing the very thing that has caused us to quit following the Lord. It's human nature to do that. And sometimes our human nature wins the day when we, in fact, ought to take him in tow and say, no, that's not the way it's going to be. It's going to be this way. We're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when this kind of thing that I mentioned happens to us, have we ever thought about what those other things were? Could they be classified as worldly activities, not having any connection with spiritual things of God at all? And if you answer yes to that, then that's exactly what he's talking about in our text. Follow me, let the dead bury their dead. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ would have known precisely what that young man's motives were and what his intention was and what the drawings of this particular scenario was, is the reason that he could say that to him. Without even knowing why that young man was making that excuse, I can tell you, based on the fact that I know my Savior is omnipotent, that young man was going to be drawn away from following the Lord Jesus Christ. By whatever it was, he was proposing to Jesus that he be allowed to do. I know that because I know that Jesus is always true. That's the only evidence I need. And so, many times, we'll have an intention to follow the Lord down the path that he has designed for us, outlined for us, and shown us clear light on. And right in the middle of making those plans and trying to execute that, we will get distracted by a type of funeral, if you will. And there we are. Well, now, as I said at the start of this particular verse, this doesn't teach that if you're Christians, you ought to not bother at all to go to funerals of your loved ones, or even even reject the idea of going to funerals of others that are not necessarily blood kin. It's not talking about abandoning going to funerals, folks. It does have something to teach us about going to funerals, though. Do you see it there? Do you see what it teaches us about going to funerals? Let me just say it real bluntly. If going to a funeral excuses you from following the Lord in something that you were supposed to do in following the Lord, then yes, it does aim at funerals. It does mean exactly that. And so we need to be aware. Even when dealing with death of friends or death of relatives or neighbors, it's important to remember that our allegiance belongs to the Lord even at a funeral, or even in cases where the funeral would draw us away from doing what the Lord has appointed for us to do on that particular time. Now, that rarely happens, but it could happen. And especially, it is an instruction about allowing ourselves the kind of practice that prevents us from moving aside from following the Lord, even in the case of a funeral. Now, you might say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in our society today, don't be shocked if one of these days soon you get invited to go to a funeral of a friend, of a loved one, and you go there and they're celebrating their funeral with some kind of a satanic mass or something. Folks, religion's gone wild out in America. And you may not even begin to imagine what you could be brought into in the way of going in and observing a funeral service for the relative of a friend, or even maybe one of your relatives. I've got some relatives that wouldn't shock me at all if they held something crazy like that. And so I believe Jesus would have us apply that right here in the case like that. You go to a funeral and all of a sudden you realize that you're mixed up in some kind of a heretical observance. Get up and leave. There's no reason to stay. Go follow Jesus. That's what you want to do. And going right out the door is following Jesus out the door, because I can tell you, if he was there at all, he's gone when that kind of stuff starts. So, we realize that this includes when we're dealing with things that might be heretical practices during a funeral. And it also, I think, includes when we're dealing with the various emotions and crises of others that may, balloon up as a result of somebody passing. There are a lot of people that have no hope and no confidence, and they have nothing to lean on when somebody, a loved one dies, and their emotions may be way out in left field. Well, as God's people, we can give comfort to everybody if we're in a position to do that. At a time of a funeral, when there's a death of their family member or loved one, we can give comfort to them without going beyond the comfort that the Scripture of God teaches us that we can render. And I believe this applies here in that case too. Let the dead bury their dead. If it's a deadness, if it's a dead funeral, you can let them do what they want to do. You don't participate with them in the deadness of the thing, but you can render comfort to them, scriptural comfort to them in a time like that. But we don't want to get involved to the point that we're not able to follow Jesus in that which we do. Now, I think it also includes dealing with our own perspectives and our own emotions at such times that occur with funerals. Now, let me clarify what I mean. A funeral, especially if it's of a loved one, someone dear to us, someone close to us, a funeral is a very time when you might say hopeless emotionalism can flare forth, where people just fall all to pieces when they are sitting in on a funeral of a loved one, and they go through all of that, and they listen to the song sung, and they listen to the preacher preach, and it just tears them apart, and they break into many pieces emotionally. I believe that's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us here. We want to follow Him. And I can tell you right now that regardless of what kind of loss we suffer and how much we may mourn the death of a loved one, that we need to keep in perspective that we have the Lord and that our strength is in the Lord. And that He will hold us up in times of huge losses if we just trust Him to do so. I believe that's part of the lesson that He teaches us here. Let the dead bury the dead, but you follow Me. The dead have no hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can certainly follow the Lord Jesus Christ by leaning on Him in times when there is a situation where, say there is a funeral or something like that where death has touched lives. Now, and I think it also teaches that we can get so involved in the affairs of death that we lose sight of the elements of everlasting life and the business of Him who gave everlasting life to us. Follow thou Me. In other words, don't get so caught up in the death that's occurred, but just follow Me. If you get caught up in it in an emotional sense, in a strongly emotional mental state, you can lose sight of the fact that you have everlasting life. Lose sight of the fact that I'm always with you. Lose sight of the fact that I have all the comfort you will need if you just call upon Me and depend upon Me for it. I believe that's what He's teaching us there, among other things. Now, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 that he charges us and he commands us that we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And if we do that, we're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're practically assisting, we're getting involved in the dead, burying the dead, so to speak. Now, the lesson also teaches that there are some bits of business, some affairs that occur in this life that are no business of believers at all. And that's what I mentioned a few minutes earlier. Don't participate in any pagan funeral ritual. Get up and leave. Don't be involved in it. Let the dead bury the dead in the way that they choose to do it, but not you. You don't participate in it. Now, the larger lesson, though, I think that the Lord Jesus is teaching here in this verse is that the business of the world belongs to the world. And the business of the kingdom, following the Lord Jesus Christ, belongs to believers. I think that's, if you could just narrow it down to a real simple summary, that's, I believe, what He's teaching us. Because the business of the world is of the world. And we sometimes are forced to participate in part in the business of the world. That's the way we live in the world. But he's talking about that we are never to get ourselves chained to the business of the world, but rather always remember that our business is the business of the kingdom following the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to remember that following the Lord is a dedicated way and not giving in to going after things of the world, things that relate to family associations, things that generally belong to the way of the world. This attention to serving the Lord is a choice that we are taught by our Lord when he says, let the dead bury the dead, but follow me. You follow me. Let. And I close with this thought about this particular verse. It's your choice. This is one of those things that the Lord has given us by which we grow spiritually. We are strengthened in the power of His might by it. But He has left it as a choice. Do we want to know how to become stronger as children of God, to become more focused and more centered on the things of God? Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and let the things of the world take care of the things of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. And when we remember that, it'll help us to do this one let thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has bidden us to do. Let us follow the Lord Jesus Christ and let the dead bury the dead.